Hello, you're listening to In My Downtown, a podcast by the Michigan Downtown Association. This is Annette Knowles, and our guest today is Caleb Katz, the village manager from the village of Calumet, way up in the UP, here today to talk to us about the disastrous fire that happened recently in the downtown area. And so, welcome, Caleb.
Hi, thanks for having me today.
Thanks for having us. And let me start by just saying how sorry we were to learn about the fire in downtown Calumet. These kind of disasters really take a toll on sometimes the spirit, but also the physicality of the downtowns. And so we're really, really sorry to hear that you had to experience this.
Well, thank you. We definitely appreciate that. It was obviously very unexpected for us, and not something that I thought I would ever encounter during my tenure here, that's for sure.
So what actually what happened with the fire? What do they know what started the fire and what happened on scene?
Yeah, so as of right now, we have not gotten any word from either the fire marshal or any of the federal agencies that arrived, such as the ATF. It is my understanding that the investigation is still going on, but off-site. The first week or so, they had, sniffing dogs and other types of technology, if you will, investigating the fire on location and trying to see if they can determine anything just from the debris and being on site. But as of right now, there's no real determination. We're still waiting on that, and hopefully, we'll get some resolution or some answers on that soon, because I definitely know a lot of people here in the village and the surrounding areas are very curious and just wanted to know what started all of this catastrophe for us. On scene, it was just a huge blaze. It was probably one of the biggest ones in recent memory for a lot of people around here. I know a lot of people were very shocked and surprised by it, and we had our fire department, responded very quickly within a handful of minutes, which was huge, and also controlling it and keeping it from spreading anywhere else in the village. And luckily, we kept it contained to that one small part of that block.
Okay. So the building in question, how old was it and what was the use in the building?
Yeah, so it ended up being what I would call three and a half buildings. Three of the buildings were complete losses, and the half building was severely damaged by smoke and water damage. But one of the buildings was a laundromat on the bottom floor, and then the upper floors were apartments for tenants. The building to the right of that one had a storefront as well as some apartments above it. And then the third building was an old restaurant that had recently been sold to a investor or developer who had been making plans to start rehabilitating that.
Okay, so it did displace some residential folks. That's really sorry to learn that. But no injuries or anything like that.
No, th thankfully there were no injuries or deaths, which was very lucky. We were very, happy that that's how it ended and that no one was hurt. Also, I forgot to mention that those buildings were from the late 1800s, early 1900s, and they were considered contributing assets to our historic park here.
Which is a great segue to make my next question. I think in many instances, if there are building damage within downtown areas of historic buildings, there are efforts to try to salvage either the buildings or the materials. Do you think that that's going to be possible with the condition that your buildings are in?
Yeah, so the first three buildings, the laundromat, the storefront, and the old restaurant, those were complete losses. There is nothing left of them. It's just three large rubble piles, essentially. And any of the remaining debris will probably be picked up whenever cleanup occurs. And most of it is, to our understanding, possibly contaminated with asbestos because of the age of the buildings. So there's nothing that can really happen with that. The fourth building that had smoke and water damage. The exterior is still in good shape. However, it's just a matter of whether or not the engineers and insurance companies think that it is salvageable. We hope that it is because it is a very, beautiful building that is right there in the heart of our downtown, and we would like to see it salvaged and saved and rebuilt. But that's just up to the engineers and those folks.
So this developer that you had, I'm kind of deviating from the questions that I sent to you, but
No,
I'm
that's
curious
fine.
about the developer that recently had purchased one of the buildings. What is the likelihood of a new construction versus a rehab, or has it not even gotten that far yet?
Rebuilding, reconstructing, rehabilitating. So I'm not sure what his plans are. I don't know if he will just give it to the land bank or another public entity so that we can get some funding for the cleanup, or if he's going to want to handle that himself and then facades and appearance of these types of buildings. So if he did rebuild, I would imagine it would be something in that style or feature as well.
What's been the response from the community? I mean, I'm sure there's some, general feelings of devastation, but has there anything notable or remarkable about the community's response to the fire or the aftermath of the fire?
Yeah, the community has been fantastic. I mean, they've rallied around this catastrophe and they've been nothing but helpful and generous. You know, and I think that's a great thing about the people here in the Copper Country and just showing how resilient and community focused they really are. You know, when something happens to a neighboring town or even their neighbor's house or just a person in general, you know, they're willing to lend a hand and help as best that they can or contribute in any way that they can. You know, people have begun, you know, collecting donations at different businesses here in the village and in the surrounding communities. Our neighboring village had a fundraiser at the GIP Arena a little while ago, and they raised over $1,000 for the people affected by this. Everyone has been willing to share any knowledge or experience in situations like this that they've experienced with me, who are in other municipal governments, and even on top of that, the Salvation Army, Red Cross have just, you know, leapt into action very quickly and kind of picked up the ball and ran with it. And that's been a huge help for us because we are such a small village with such a limited staff that, you know, any additional help is always huge and we definitely appreciate that.
So you mentioned that there were already some efforts for, I'll call it, disaster relief. Was this mainly directed at the residents, or has there been any effort to provide any relief to the businesses that have been displaced? And also leading into that as well, you've lost a couple businesses. Are there any efforts being made to try to find new locations for those businesses so that you're able to retain them in the community?
Well, most of the disaster relief has been focused on helping those victims of the fire or the tenants who have lost their belongings and their homes. You know, it's been food donations, clothing donations, or just cash donations to the Salvation Army and Red Cross. I know the Salvation Army has been huge in helping them find new housing and getting them in touch with different government programs to help them get back on their feet. As far as trying to retain the businesses, not much has happened on that front just because there isn't a whole lot that we can do with helping, you know, one business get their laundromat going again in a different location or another storefront. Someone's going to be putting a rock shop in there. I'm not sure what's going to be happening for them, but we just don't have a lot of retail space necessarily. So I know people are trying to help in other ways, you know, with housing and just other relief. It's just there's not a whole lot on that front yet.
So help me understand this a little bit better, because I've not been to Calumet. How large is the downtown?
Yeah, so the downtown is probably the biggest part of our small village. Our village is between 600 and 700 residents. You know, we're about 25 square blocks, and the downtown probably encompasses at least almost half, I would guess. You know, definitely our main attraction is what we're known for. You know, we still have this almost time capsule of a downtown, and you know, people love coming to see it, and they can kind of reminisce about times of the past, and it's the heart of our village, and you know, it's definitely a big loss for us.
And so these buildings that were lost, were they in a very kind of a landmark location? Were they on a side street where perhaps it's not as noticeable? I'm just trying to get a sense of how it fits into the framework of the community.
Yeah, so our two main streets are 5th and 6th Street. They have our big, you know, attractions and historical buildings, and you know, it's that historical looking downtown. And on these buildings were on 5th Street, which is our main, I guess, shopping corridor, if you will. It's where most of our main businesses are. There's also the Keweenaw National Historic Park Visitor Center. And these were right there as soon as you come into town, almost on that first or second block on Fifth Street. So it's very noticeable. It's going to leave a big hole in our downtown. And the park would consider these buildings as contributing assets, and they are mostly still in their original form, albeit, you know, not necessarily in the best condition from one of the buildings, but, you know, that one would have been taken over by a developer. So that would have been a huge upgrade for us. So this is definitely going to be a big hole for us.
So what is the future opportunity with this building in relation to your zoning codes and things like that? So we know, it sounds like at this point, that there is really, you know, obviously no hope to, you know, reconstruct from, you know, materials or things like that. So what does your zoning code allow as a new development or infill?
Well, our zoning ordinance allows for a wide spectrum of businesses down there. You know, it could be a candy shop. It could be like a gift store, a souvenir shop, anything of that type of nature. It's just we would need them to follow the historic guidelines for the exterior of the buildings, and just run everything through the planning commission as well as for a historic district commission to make sure that they meet all those. You know, further, we got to have certain setbacks. We want to have a storefront on the bottom. And then if you want to have living quarters above it, you could do that. It's just that we would like to really stick with that historical nature, that historic look, you know, that historic character. That is what makes the village so, so great.
Sure. Yeah. It's all about character. So your ordinance doesn't require the replacement buildings to have multiple stories, or does it encourage that kind of density?
Yeah, most of our downtown businesses or buildings are usually about two stories. There are a few that are one, but normally they're a storefront with a living quarter above them.
Okay, well, that's good news to know. All those residents add value to, you know, the context of, you know, spending dollars in town, right? So
that is huge for us.
Yeah, so what advice do you have for other communities that, you know, encounter? I mean, this was obviously a fire kind of disaster, but there are others that happen, whether it's flooding or, you know, storm, tornado, that type of thing. Do you have any advice or lessons learned that you would like to share?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's probably 1,000 things I could share that I've just learned from this one experience. But, you know, the biggest takeaway I had is that you always have to be ready for the unexpected. I never expected that something this catastrophic or huge would happen in my time here, you know, so it definitely caught us off guard. You know, luckily, as I mentioned, you know, the people up here, the other local communities and the municipal governments have been nothing but helpful. So I would also emphasize that reach out to everyone in every other community, even at the county level or municipal level, pick their brains for any information or experience that they've had, and then sort of create a centralized hub for how you're going to bring in information about what's going on, as well as share that information that you don't have anyone getting any wires crossed, so to speak. In addition to that, you know, keep your command center or your central hub very organized, and make sure you have everyone in lockstep so that everyone can keep the ball moving forward in the same direction so that you aren't kind of being tugged in several different ways. Other than that, I mean, just, you know, keep a list of everyone that you talk to and everyone's opinions and advice, and then you can kind of start putting all that together into a plan for you.
Well, it sounds like your experience, and thank you for sharing it, Caleb, is perhaps not necessarily unique, but you sounds like you've really reacted well and are in position to take action when action is necessary. And that's really kind of the best that in some situations that we're able to do. I just wanted to share again, you know, we're so sorry to hear about this experience for you. And hope the best for the village of Calumet. We really appreciate your time today.
No problem. Thanks for having us or having me on. We definitely appreciate all the kind words, prayers, and thoughts everyone has sent our way, and all the help that all the local fire departments, all the other municipalities have shared with us and given to us. And you know, it's been a bittersweet thing for us because, you know, it's sad that we've lost these great buildings, but at the same time, we've really gotten to see what Kaima is really made of and the coming together and camaraderie of the Copper Country up here.
Okay, Caleb, if there's anyone seeking additional information about the Calumet experience, is there a way that folks can get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can reach me by phone or email. Our office phone is 906-337-1713, and our website would be villageofcalumet.com.
Great. Well, thank you. Thanks again, Caleb. You've been listening to In My Downtown, a podcast by the Michigan Downtown Association, where we feature projects and programs that are benefiting Michigan's wonderful downtowns. We appreciate your time today, and we'll see you next time.